When I heard about 10 seconds ago that I'm speaking about contemporary Hilchos Shabbos, so it reminded me of a quick story that was I was privy to. It was at my Simon sleep with my friend and colleague, many of you know Baruch Simon. He was once asked to give a shiur about, and he was told that it has to be a contemporary topic. So he told me he's going to give a shiur about Hilchos Atzilus Yadayim. They told him, no, that's no good. He said, why is that no good? He said, it's not contemporary enough. He said, we wash this down every single day. What could be less than, what could different than that? Now, contemporary means something that doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch. If it appears in Shulchan Aruch, then it's already contemporary. So we'll try to talk about the topic that is hopefully contemporary and hopefully has a little bit of bearing to Shulchan Aruch. And the other thing I was told is that it has to be exciting. That was the other thing. So I have to think of a contemporary, exciting topic that has something to do with the Shabbos. So we'll see if we could put all the pieces of the puzzle together. So I'll share with you a shiloh that I actually received several years ago, really shiloh lochra maizah. And there are really two very, very distinct parts of the shiloh. Depending on how much time we have, but we'll get to both parts of the shiloh. So the shiloh that was presented to me was as follows, that there was a baby that was supposed to have a bris on Shabbos, and on Friday they realized that the bilirubin counts were not perfect, and the doctors were not so comfortable giving the green light in terms of having the bris on Shabbos. But the doctors did say that if they run another test on Shabbos morning, so another blood test on Shabbos morning, and if the bilirubin are going down sufficiently, so then the doctors will be comfortable with permitting the bris to take place on Shabbos. So the question becomes, is it permissible to do a type of blood test as this, the bilirubin on Shabbos itself, assuming that we're going to have a non-Jew who's going to do the actual blood work, actually the drug in the blood, the work in the blood, etc. Is that permissible or not? So there are multiple levels of the shiloh. So the first basic fundamental part of the shiloh we have to discuss is drawing blood for this kind of a test, particularly a bilirubin test. Is this an issur d'oraisa or is this an issur d'rabbanan? If it's an issur d'oraisa, it's going to be much harder for us to be ma'aser it. If it's an issur d'rabbanan, then the wheels are going to start to turn in our head, that issur d'rabbanan, the makom mitzvah, etc. And a mil yachim makom mitzvah. However, even if we take the approach that it's an issur, that doesn't mean we're closing the door on this case. It could be that the makom milah we may permit even certain issur d'oraisa de mil yachim. So the shiloh really touched on a lot of things flying. So it's really two distinct parts of the shiur. Hopefully we'll have a chance to touch on both of them. So the first part of the shiur is, what is the status of drawing blood on Shabbos? What token, what type of issur are we dealing with? Deraisa, the derabbanan, if deraisa based on what? And then number two is, however we identify this issur to be, the deraisa, the derabbanan, other grounds to be matir de goy in order to facilitate a potential mila on the Yom HaShemini. So let's begin at the very, very beginning. What exactly is the seriousness, the significance of the issur of drawing blood on Shabbos? So there's no question that Choyvel is also in Hatzorah and Shabbos, the Gemara says in many, many places, that drawing blood is an outright Issa D'Oraisa and Shabbos. We're so sure that Choyvel is an Issa D'Oraisa, the Gemara says, and we actually know it from Hilchos Milah. From the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to tell me that we're allowed to do a bris on the eighth day, that means that the bris itself is Lecha Shabbos. All the other preparatory stages are not Lecha Shabbos, but the bris itself is Lecha Shabbos. What malach is involved in doing the bris? The Gemara says the malach is malachas choyvel. The malach is the drawing of blood. So you see clear from the fact that the Torah had to go out of its way to spell a special pasuk, the Yom HaShemini, the Yom HaTulim Shabbos, to tell me that you can do a bris on Shabbos. That's a proof positive that Chovel is an Issa D'Oraisa. The only thing is that we're not quite sure which malacha to pin it onto. It's not one of the 39 malachas, it's not on the official Baruch checklist. It doesn't appear in the Rivia Sefer as a category of malachas. So which of malachas does it fall under? That's a big, big malachas of Rishonim. So there are actually multiple approaches in the Rishonim. We're going to deal for now with two. So the two primary approaches in the Rishonim as to which av melacha Chovel falls under is machlekes in the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. The Rambam understood that Chovel falls under the melacha of Dosh. Dosh means that you exert pressure on something, on a grain, and by pushing against the grain, you take out the part that you want, you exert pressure, and you extract the part of the grain that you want, leaving behind whatever is left behind. That's the basic melacha of threshing, the melacha of Disha. The Rambam writes that if a person exerts pressure or he makes an incision, he cuts, he does something, now he pulls out some of the blood coming out of the person or coming out of the animal, that's dumi to melechas disha, and that's the reason why it's also. So it's a tolda of melechas disha. So this is part of a Rambam's general theory about a lot of things that are extracted from people and animals fall into the category of Yisha. The Rambam sheet is, it's confusing because it's the same letters, but they just flipped around. It's not just Chovel, but also Cholev. The Gemara says that if you milk a cow, so that's an Issa D'Oraisa as well. According to most of the Rishonim, that's an Issa D'Oraisa. So the Rambam also poses the same question. Which Malacha does it fall under? So the Rambam comes up with the same conclusion. That's also part of the Malacha of Disha. Again, the same idea. I'm extracting, I'm pushing against the udder, squeezing on the other, putting out, pulling out the milk. So the Rambam, both Lagabe drawing blood out, as well as Lagabe drawing milk out, invokes the same Malacha of Disha. So this is a big problem, this Rambam, because there is a Machlekes HaTanoim, whether the Malacha of Disha is limited to Gedulei Karka. In the Mishkan, it took place with Gedulei Karka, and there's Machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda HaChamim, whether Ein Disha Ela B'Gedulei Karka or not. And it would appear that we follow the view of the HaChamim, that Ein Disha Ela B'Gedulei Karka. If so, how in the world could we say that drawing out milk, squeezing out milk, or squeezing out blood, so cutting out and drawing out blood, how can those be Isurim of Disha if we're doing it to a person, we're doing it to an animal, and people and animals do not grow in the ground? This kasha was so bothered Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said that the answer is Tachar Rachinami, that it's not also Mishum Disha. Rabbeinu Tam had to go searching and fishing for other malachas, for Cholev and Chovel. What would the Rambam respond to this kasha? So the simple pshat of the Rambam is that the Rambam understood that animals and people do have the status of Gedulei Karka because they are nourished by food that grows in the ground. So since everything we eat, some people eat things that grow directly in the ground, some people do a lot of work until it turns into something else, but at the end of the day, it all ends up from something that's growing in the ground. So therefore, the Rambam's opinion was that people and animals are considered the halacha to be Gedulei Karka, and Disha can apply to them, and therefore Cholev and Chovel can be Shayach, as told us in the Halacha of Disha. But Rabbeinu Tam didn't think that was true. Rabbeinu Tam thought that the fact that people are nourished from things that grow in the ground, that's not enough to elevate them to the full-fledged status of Gedulei Karka, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam went searching for other malachas. What are the other malachas that Cholev and Chovel could be Shayach for? So when it came to the Malach of Cholev, which is not really our topic tonight, but when it came to the Issa of Cholev, so Rabbeinu Tam had a very, very unique approach. Rabbeinu Tam said, the reason why you're not allowed to milk a cow on Shabbos in a Torah is because you're smoothing out the udder, part of the process. I haven't milked too many cows, as you can tell. As in Kebiyaz, we used to go watch the milking of the cows and try to figure out why it wasn't that this was their Isa, what we were watching. So when they were milking the cows with Derech Heter, or whatever you thought Derech Heter was, so they were milking the cows on Shabbos. So we're trying to figure out which malach exactly we're watching. So according to Ben Atah, the malach is with Marech. When you start the milking process, so you take a little bit of the milk and you squirt it out to smooth out the udder. So that was the malach of Marech. It's smoothing out the area. That's the malach. But Disha wouldn't be Minatara because Ein Disha would be the character. But the part that interests us for us is, what would Ben Atah say? What is the malacha of Chovel? Which malacha does that fall? It's nothing to do with the Marech. And Disha can't be with Ein Disha would be the character. So, Beretam came up with another malacha. Beretam says that causing bleeding is a malacha of sheichet. The din is, you're not allowed to shecht an animal, you're not allowed to kill an animal, you're not allowed to do what's called nefilas neshama. So Rabbi Beretam says that just as you're not allowed to do nefilas neshama of an entire neshama, you're not allowed to do nefilas neshama of a mixed neshama. And we know that drawing the blood is like part of a neshama. Yadamu b'nefesh. The Torah says multiple times that the dam is the nefesh, is the neshama of the animal. So mali kutla kula, mali kutla pavla. What's the difference whether you kill an entire animal, or you kill an entire person, or you draw a little bit of blood? That's called the nefilas neshama, and that would be the issa d'oraisa. So now we have a major machlekes, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam, as to which malacha are we pitting chovel on. Is chovel part of malachas disha, or is chovel part of malachas sheichet? According to Rabbeinu Tam, that chovel is part of malachas nefilas neshama. What makes it nefilas neshama? It's not really neshama. Dam is not per se neshama. What makes it neshama is because the Torah calls it neshama, because the Torah says it's dam. So l'chayra, we would have an askanina between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam as follows. What if I draw out other items, other liquids, let's say, I can extract other kinds of liquids from the human body, would that be a malacha on Shabbos or not? So according to the Rambam, the answer is yes. According to the Rambam, it doesn't matter whether you're extracting milk, whether you're extracting blood, or extracting anything else. The mere applying pressure or making an incision and drawing out blood, water, liquid, whatever you're drawing out of a human body, is automatically the Malach HaZisha. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, that the Malach HaZisha is not really relevant because the Ein Disha Ela B'Gedulei Karka. The real problem here is Dam, because Kedam Uba Nefesh, Dam is a Shtikl Nefesh, so then L'Chor, it has to have the status of Dam in order to be a Malacha. And that really opens up sort of the question for us. According to the view of Rabbi Natan, which many Polkim accept, that the ik malocha of Chayvel is actually the Tils Neshama, and what makes it a Tils Neshama is the Shem Dam on it, one can now raise the following question. What if I'm drawing out something that is part of the blood, but is that halachically considered to be dam itself? What in the world does that mean? Again, I'm not a hematologist. I can't say all the nuances of what goes different components of the dam, but one can raise the following shaila. We know that in other areas of halacha, particularly in the realm of Hilchas Nida, we know that just because something is biologically, medically called blood or part of blood, that in and of itself doesn't halachically make it blood. The Mishnah says in the second verse of Masechet Nida that in order for dam to be a problem in Hilchas Nida, two things have to be true. Many things have to be true, but for our purposes, two things have to be true. Number one, has to be red. If it's not red, there's nothing even to discuss. That the Gemara quotes Sukkim, that Dam in Hilchos Nida has to be red. And then number two, even if it's red, that in and of itself is not a problem. It has to be a specific shade of red. And the Mishnah spells out there are four shades of red, and there's a fifth Mara that's black, that's a different story. But there are four different unique shades of red, and only those four shades of red are considered to be a Mara Tomei in Hilchos Nida. So something, number one, has to be red, and number two, it has to be a particular kind of red in order for it to be problematic. The Gemara says that the Bezman Chazal, they used to have a real expertise to be able to tell that something can be red, and it's still mutter, it's still tahor, because it doesn't meet those particular criteria of being one of the four official Maris Domim. So the Gemara says in the end of the second Berakh Nida, in the later days of the Amorim, so many of the Amorim stopped looking at Domim, because it was too hard to have such expertise to be able to tell the difference within the red family, that was already too much. That's what the Rush writes in the end of the second Berakh Nida, that we have tradition already for hundreds of years, says the Rush, that nobody today paskins on shades of red. Everybody assumes that if it looks like red, it has a red tinge to it, that's considered to be also. The only thing that we paskin today is maybe it's not red altogether. Maybe it's a different color gamma, and it's a whole other world in Hilchos Nida, what the other possible colors are. But if it's already red, so then we are already too nervous to manifest to differentiate within the red category, but we are still comfortable differentiating between red versus other colors. So other colors are clearly not considered to be dam for the purposes of Hilchos Nida. So once they raise the following of the Shishayla, this din that was so machfid on the kol, it's got to be dafka red, dafka shaded red, etc. Is this a prat in Hilchos Nida? This is just a unique din that's dafka said in Hilchos Nida. This has no relevance to other areas of halacha that revolve around dam. Let's say, Marshal, the issue of achilas dam. You're not allowed to eat dam. What if dam would come out? The biologist would tell us it's dam, but you show it to a rabbi. The rabbi says, no, this is not really red. This is maratohar. So would you say, well, it's a maratohar for Hilchos Nida, so it's kosher for Hilchos dam? Would you say such a thing? Well, let's say in terms of doing zrikas adam within his best. There are a lot of dinim that dam applies to. Mr. Kisi adam. There are many, many dinim that revolve around the halachic concept of dam. In order to be a chef of dam in other areas of halacha, does it have to meet the criteria for Hilchos Nida? It has to be red? Or maybe not. Maybe that requirement of red was only said in Hilchos Maros of Nida that has nothing to do with Kala Tarakuzma. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, this shaila now may become fascinating for us. When a person is trying to extract blood for, let's say, this particular case, I'm trying to extract the blood to get a count from the bilirubin. I don't really want the red part of the blood, the red part of the blood. What I want to do is extract the bilirubin. What color is bilirubin? So bilirubin, again, if any doctors here want to correct me, that's fine. But from my understanding, that's not red. It's a yellowish, orangey, maybe kind of a thing, which doesn't sound like a marat tome to me. Yellow is what the Mishnah means, dama yorok. The Mishnah says Adama Yorok is Tahor, the Machlik is Rishayim, and Adama Yorok means yellow or green. So we pass in Shulchan Aruch, the Machav and the Ramah Maker, that the Adama Yorok that's Tahor means yellowish. So yellowish calls the woman Maker, the woman comes with the Shail of yellow, so we Maker. So I want to analyze, what do I really want? When I'm drawing, I'm sticking this needle into the baby, I'm trying to draw out the blood. I don't really want the blood. I couldn't care less about the red blood cells. I care about the red blood cells because that's the bilirubin problem that's related to the red blood cells. But I don't really want the red blood cells. I really want to get a chaperon around the bilirubin. So now what you want to argue as follows. But I'm really only interested in drawing out bilirubin. The fact that it's kind of hard to get out the bilirubin without getting out the rest of the stuff. So maybe that's a psikresha. Maybe that's a psikresha d'lo nichalei. A psikresha d'lo nichalei is only in the Seder Rabbanan of Cheshavis. So maybe that would be significant grounds to be makel. So if you're willing to say this tremendous chiddush of ours, that when I'm drawing out bilirubin, I don't really want the rest of the blood, so then maybe it's a psik reish shel nichlei vis-a-vis the rest of the blood, and that would knock it down significantly to a derabbanan. If it's only a psik reish, and really Yaakov, a psik reish happens to be mutar legamrei in Hilchos Shabbos, according to most poskim. So that would be a phenomenal kula. So of course, there are a lot of steps along the way in order to have to be met, in order for this conclusion to be true. So number one, we have to... to do it like this, well, would still be a psik reish shel nichlei, which is the machlek is the orach and other rishonim, so it wouldn't be the greatest thing under the sun. But good at degoy would be phenomenal because it would be a psik reisha. Even if a psik reisha degoy is, we pass if it's a shams, it's a tegomor, and this is a psik reisha nichlei, it would be phenomenal kula. So a lot of dots have to be connected in order for what I just said to be correct. First of all, you have to look at Rebbe Tam. If you look at the Rambam, then the game's over. Because according to the Rambam, it's not nitzel is dam, that's the problem. According to the Rambam, it's just extracting anything. Any pressure, anything whatsoever, is a malach of disha, so it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference whether it's red, yellow, purple, or any other color. It's coming out of the body and extracting pressure to get it out, so that's the problem. But according to the view of Rabbi Natan, that everything revolves around the din of dam, then maybe I can make a case that if the dam is not really red, or the part that I'm trying to study is not really red, maybe that would impose a problem on the level of the raisa.
Isn't it, isn't a fine thing, one, know how much bilirubin is for however much of the rest of the blood there is in one of the constitutions? Don't you also want the rest of the stuff?
I think you're asking the wrong guy, I don't know. I'm going to knock out the school anyway, so I have no idea what the medical part of the shot is. So this kula, although, I don't know, maybe it's fascinating, maybe it's eye-opening, but it's probably not correct. It's probably not correct on multiple levels. So besides the fact that totally the Machlokes Ben Tam, the Rambam, that would be one thing we could overcome. But it's clear there are some very, very serious flaws in this reasoning. There was someone who wanted to, who wanted to have this idea, who wanted to be mapped, there are a lot of blood tests based on this. But then with Billy Rubin, they wanted to be mapped, so let's say the doctor says we have to draw some blood, not because we have to draw some blood, we want to study the white blood cells, we want to study the plasma of the blood, we want to study the platelets. None of that is red. So unless the doctor wants the red blood cells, so then maybe we'll be subject to the same kula. So there are a couple of reasons why this is very, very problematic, even within the world of Rabbi Natan. It's a tremendous chiddush to say that the din of red, in contrast to other colors, applies to all Hilchos Dam. To say that it's not just a din Hilchos Nida is very, very problematic. And the Chazon Ish actually discusses this and brings it, came out of Raya B'Feirish, that there is no such comparison from Hilchos Nida to other areas of Malach. This, of course, is a prop in Hilchos Nida, and this is no relevance outside of the color doesn't make a difference. If halachically, if medically, physically, it's blood, so it doesn't matter what color it is in terms of other areas of Malach. The Raya that the Chazon Ish brings was from a sugya that we actually spoke about this morning in a different, totally different shiur. Not so far from him, right? So we spoke about the Gemara in the beginning of Masechet Bechoros, raises the question on the Vav, how do you know that you're permitted to drink milk? All milk should be treif. Why should all milk be treif? Well, the Gemara has actually two reasons. One reason we spoke about this morning share, now the other reason we spoke about today's share. So this morning we spoke about the Gemara's Havamina that all milk is a yotzim and a osir, because an animal is osir when it's a chai, so it's an efim and a chai. So it's just as milk that comes from a treif animal is treif, milk that comes from a cow should also be treif. It's yotzim and efim and a chai. Then the Gemara is another reason why all milk should be also, because there's one time that it says the principle called Dam Nekav and Asa Cholav. We don't really understand medically what that means, but there's such a principle called, according to some opinions, Dam Nekav and Asa Cholav, that when milk is being produced by an animal, by a woman, so then we view that somehow the milk that's being produced is really the extension of the blood. That somehow, and again, what that means exactly, and how the shtan and what that means biology and halacha is a complicated story. But the Gemara does have that principle called dam nekev nasachol. There's some kind of a correlation between the blood in the process of producing the milk. And therefore, the Gemara says that maybe all milk should be also because it's really just a derivative of blood. It's basically an issue of drinking blood. So both of those svaras, the Gemara rejects. The Gemara says, no, it's okay. Milk from a cow is kosher. And we're not worried about the Efer Min HaChai. We're not worried about the Zam, because the Torah says it's okay. Because the Torah says, Eretz Zabat Chalav Udvash. And the Torah would not have promised us, the Rosh Hashanah wouldn't have promised us, come to Eretz and drink all the treif milk. And the fact that the Rosh Hashanah says, come to Eretz and drink the milk, the Raya Brut, the milk must be kosher. So even though in terms of pure lumdus, we really should have traced up all milk in the world because of these two concerns, Lamaisa, the Torah said that it's okay. So going back to one of those concerns, the Gemara says that all milk should be also because of Dam Nekev Nasa Cholav. That means the halakha we have to view Dam as we have to view Cholav as being Dam. So the Chazdish said, that's very nice to say that Cholav is Dam, but it's not red. milk is white, it's not red. And the Gemara still thought that milk should be also out in Isser of Dam. So you see from here, says the Chazanish, that regarding the Isser of Dam, color doesn't play a role. If you would have white liquid, a woman has oozes out white, so that's a Marat Tohar. But in terms of Ichus Dam, the color is Lamalach Lamayrit, that if halakhically, if biologically, physically it's called Dam, so then it's halakhically called Dam as well. So according to that Chazanish, and the whole Nuchla Binyan, the entire Shtikl Torah that we just built up and put up on a pedestal, we want to make a Shtikl Torah razzle dazzle according to Ben Tam, that it's only when there's a bit of Dam, and Dam is only red, and whatever's not red is Mishkin Dam, and if everything's a big racial Nichalei, the whole thing is Lohayat Vamayelim, because the whole thing is against that Gemara and Masechet Becheres. So the Pashat Shad is that it was a nice attempt, we tried, it wasn't just we, but others tried, but it's not going to work. So the Pashat Shad is not going to work. It's not going to work for another reason as well. There's another very, very serious inhibition that we're going to have with this whole Shtikl Torah. There's another very serious problem that we have with the Shtikl Torah. There is a din that appears in the 8th Perek of Masechet Chulin concerning the din of Abasa B'Challa. The Gemara tells us that milk is made up, obviously, of different components. It occurs in the way. Those who remember a little Miss Muffet, so the curds in the whey. The reason why we don't usually think of milk as curds in the whey anymore because it doesn't happen anymore. Because since our milk has already been homogenized, they prepared in such a way that the milk doesn't separate into the two components immediately. In the olden days, so you had you left out milk for a little while, so it would start to curdle. So the cheesy part would separate from the watery part. So the Gemara says that the mei chalav, the whey part of the milk, is not really chalav b'daraisa. The only part of chalav that's real mekoy chalav on the level of daraisa is the curds part, the part that could be potentially curdled, that can be made into cheese. The part that's just a simple watery part, that's not halakhi apid din, at least the daraisa, that's not considered to be actual chalav. This is much like it's Rishonim about, is that referring to what we call today whey, or is that referring to what we call today whey? I mean, it's already been made into whey twice. It already boiled it off multiple times. That's already a technical question, but it doesn't make much of a difference for us because midrabanus milk cooks anyway. But in a world of deraisa, so mechalav, whatever you define mechalav is not considered to be a chalav and love of deraisa. So there is a din in Shulchan Aruch that's quoted from the Rishonim. Let's say you have a little bit of milk falls into a pot of meat, and we have no way of figuring out what the shear is. We don't know whether we have shishim or not. Why don't we know? Because some of the tarov is spilled, so we don't know whether it's bottled or not bottled. If the shishim of the meat can egg in the milks, and then everything is okay. If there's no shishim, then you have a shav deraisa, then you have a bosom cholav, you have a tam cholav in a pot of meat, and you have a deraisa, make a problem. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that if you have a suffix, whether you have shishim or not, you have to be machmir, because suffix deraisa b'chumrah. So the Sefer Bazi Shulchan, he raises an objection and says, wait a second, why does it say in Shulchan Aruch and the Rishonim, when you have a drop of milk falls into a big pot of meat, and you're not sure when you have shishim connected to the drop, that you have a suffix deraisa in your hands? You don't have a deraisa in your hands, because every drop of milk is only X amount of that milk is actually real milk. The part that's mechal is only a derabonitika problem. So why don't we make the following chesed? Why don't we say that I have no idea what the ratio is. I know less about curds and whey than I know about bilirubin, which is not all that much in the first place. So you have this, you have a cup of milk, so what's the percentage between the curds and the whey? So I have no idea what the number is. But it's not 100% curds, it's part of it is whey. So the Bar Shulchan says, how come nobody in the last 3,500 years made this ha'ara, that whenever you have a suffix in Uqsus B'Cholot, why do you have a deraisa necessarily? Maybe it's not a derabonit, because the whey part, the mechalot part, is not really cholot on the level of deraisa. So the Bar Shulchan says, he thinks the reason why no one made this ha'ara is because the ha'ara is wrong. Because he says that from head of Amamur, when does the halacha say that mei cholav is not dinik cholav? That means once it's been separated, it's been extracted, it's been separated out from the curds. So then if I have a cup of whey, I have a cup of mei cholav in my hands, so that's only cholav on the level of the rabbanim. The kol's mazan is mechur yachad, so that's cholav on the Torah. That is the definition of cholav, means combination of curds and whey. If you separate the two, so then only the curds are considered to be the real cholav part, and the whey, the mei cholav, loses the status of cholav. That's only true once it's separated. Kol zman it's all mechul yachad. That's a chepsa for the cholov. So according to that svar, some wanted to say the same is true by dam. So you want to tell me shtikl tar razzle dazzle shtikl tar, that the only part of dam that's really dam in the Torah, even if you sell it, you're going to finagel out chaznish is raya. And even if you want to go like those achrayim would say that it has to be red, and if it's not red, so it's not dam. But metzvah mamurim that it has to be red, it's not dam. That means if you would separate the red blood cells from the white blood cells, you have the plasma, you have the platelets, you have the bilirubin, you have all the different things that are floating around inside this blood. You want to tell me that only the red blood cells, aleim nema b'tayra, that's called dam. So the person's going to drink bilirubin that was separated from the dam, so then you won't be chayev a karsh for that. But kol man that is mechubi yachad, let's say a person needs a kezayis of dam. So lo shabano dov ezem yoylo, that over yedi kezayis of dam, he's not going to chayev karsh. You know why? Because three quarters of the blood is white blood cells and plasma. That's a joke. That's what they tell us. And this kol man that's still mechubi yachad, kol man is a tzir of the chefs of dam. Of course, the entire thing, lock, stock, and barrel is called dam. So you can't play this game and say that I'm drawing out bilirubin, I'm not really drawing out blood. So the bilirubin is yellow, it's not red, and against the Chazon Ish, and it's a separate chetza. So how you throw the yellow? It's only a separate chetza if I'm doing it separately, if I can figure out a way to just draw out the bilirubin. But I don't think they do that. I think they draw out the blood. So Kozman, you're drawing out the blood. Up to din, that's called drawing out blood. The bilirubin is nichlo, the shein dam. Kozman, that has to, and the dam hasn't been separated in the centrifuge. Everything's separate into its own separate component. Kozman, that it's all mechubiyachad, that's all considered to be dam ha'amavetchara. So when all the dust settles, we have a lot of very, very serious reservations about this topic. I mean, if we want to come up with this phenomenal razzle-dazzle shalotera that I can draw out, go run blood tests, and as long as I'm not looking for the red blood cells, so there's no deraisi, everything is obscuration, lo nichale, and I think, go, everything is hunky-dory, that is very, very, very questionable. It's very, very questionable on multiple levels. First of all, according to the Rambam, the whole thing is mamash, dvar b'teilu, according to the Rambam. This whole Shulchan Torah only starts off according to Rabbein Tam. And even according to Rabbein Tam, it would only be true if we would be able to say with a straight face that blood that's not red is not called dam and called tarakula, which the Chazish says pashas against the Fereshi Gemara Masechet Sacharis. And that even if someone will finagle or figure out a way to get out of that Gemara, it only makes sense to say such a thing, just the same as the marshal of the chalav and the mechalav of the Badei Shulchan. It only makes sense to say such a thing when the different components are separated into their own different test rooms. The Kozman is coming out of the same tube together, so to say that that's not Dama Amabatara, of course that's Dama Amabatara. And therefore, whatever comes out in this blood form is Dama Amabatara. And therefore, when I'm interested in drawing out some of this blood, that's a psikration. That's not psikration. It's a davar mechavin mamish. I'm being mechavin to get out blood. It's a davar mechavin mamish. I want to draw out blood so I can study the blood. So it's a derech tikus, a derech kilchul. And that should be an outright. It's a derech. So we're going to have to assume for the first half of the year, even though we try to get a finagle around it a little bit, we have to work with the assumption that drawing these kinds of tests is a real bona fide issa deraisa. So now the question is, where do we go from here? So the niyach that we have in issa deraisa, are there any grounds to be matir for a situation of making sure that a bris is going to happen at the right time? So the Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos, in the beginning of the 19th parak, quotes Machlokes in Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. When we say that Mila is Zeicha Shabbos, what does that mean? So Mila b'yom Hashmini is Zeicha Shabbos. According to Rabbi Akiva, only the Mila itself is Zeicha Shabbos. All the preparations are not Zeicha Shabbos. So the Moel can't make knives, can't drive, can't do anything besides the Mila proper. And Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva's Rabbi, he held that all the Machshirin are Zeicha Shabbos as well. We paskin unequivocally, the Gemara paskins like Rabbi Akiva. So only the Mila proper is permitted to be violated on Shabbos. Nevertheless, even though under no circumstances would we let a Yisrael do anything but the Mila proper, all the Mashirin are also the Nisuskir, 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 Shabbos, there is a potential wiggle room to have a Goy do it. That just because something is also to be done by the Yisrael doesn't always mean that it's also to be done by the Goy. Sometimes we find the Chazal lifted the otherwise Isser Derabon of Amir Liakum. So did Chazal lift the Isser of Amir Liakum for Mila or not? So if the answer is yes, so then we're good to go. So it doesn't matter what we spoke about for the first half hour. Even if we were right, we were wrong, it's irrelevant. Even if drawing Billy Rubin is an Isser government at Torah, we're not going to do it ourselves. We're going to have a Goy draw the blood for us. So that's Amir Liakum on an Isser Derai. So who cares? That would still be Motiv and Mokom Mila if you go down that route. But if you say no, the Chazal never lifted the Yisra Dirabon, like the Hechate, so they lifted the Yisra Mir Liakom, maybe they didn't. So that's a whole, opening up a whole other Shabbos. So what is the din? So nice, get it up Billy Rubin. Regular Shabbos, what's the din? If I can't get the bris done tomorrow, I can't get the bris done today unless I ask a guy to do something, am I permitted to violate what would otherwise be a violation of Mir Liakom, but Torah Chemiva or not? So the answer to that question is that there seems to be an outright stira of two Gemaras about this very topic. The problem is the two Gemaras appear within about a half an omer of each other. They're both sugyas in the sixth pack of Masechet Erevin. In one place, the Gemara tells us a story that if a prepared water, the din is, the Mishnah says that before you do a bris, you have to wash the baby down with hot water. They say, right, we don't do this anymore because we don't think this does anything anymore. But in the days of the Mishnah, this was chikla yavor, and if you didn't have hot water, then you couldn't do the bris. Therefore, obviously, you can't heat up the water on Shabbos. That's a loch deraisa. So you have to cook up the water from before Shabbos. So one time they were ready to do a bris on Shabbos, and then ishtapa chanimi, somebody has spilled the water. So now you have no water anymore. So go out, what do you do? So you must have nishka fellach. You must have not so terrible. Just find the guy and let the guy carry, bring in some other water from his house. He'll bring in from his urn of water, and that's fine. So the Gemara says that you can do a mil yakum and having the guy carry. That's one Gemara. Then you have another Gemara that has another story, same kind of a story, but a different outcome. The Gemara says that in one case he's going to carry the water. One case he's going to carry the water, right? That's an important part of this puzzle. One place the Gemara says he's going to carry the water. So then the Gemara has another story, a few lines away, where the Gemara tells the same kind of a story, that they spilled the water. So the Gemara says, wait, let's see whether the mother needs water. Why does the mother need water? She's had a baby a few days ago, so maybe she's a shtikl chayla. So maybe she needs some hot water to be heated up for her. So if we anyway going to be heating up water for the mother, we'll throw in a little bit for good luck, we'll throw in a little extra water for the baby. So the implication of that Gemara is that, and if the mother doesn't need the water, then we're not going to heat up the water a goy. Why not? We just got finished saying, you can ask a goy to carry the water. What's the difference? Whether the goy carrying water, what goy needing the water? This is also in Shabbos, this is also in Shabbos. So what's the answer to that question? So this is a big machlokes in Rishayim and what the answer to that contradiction is. So Tosfos writes that the klal is as follows, that we will not permit a Amir Yaakov on a Melacha D'oraisa. That's out of the question. Therefore, we will never ever permit a goy to heat up water. Heating up water is an Issa Bishul D'oraisa. So we're not going to permit a goy to heat up water for us on Shabbos. That's what the Gemara said, that if the mother needs us, and it's some kind of a chayim or something like that, then we can negotiate throwing a little bit more water. But just to take that cavalier attitude that's only a Amir Yaakov, and you can do D'oraisa for Amir Yaakov, that's out of the question, even to make sure a bris takes place. So what does the Gemara mean when it says you're allowed to carry the water? Isn't carrying also one of the Lama Tesla? The answer is that it was a Chosesh and a Merevis. It was an area that was not really Rishisram D'Raisa. It was an area that was only also to carry D'Rabban anyway. So now Tosfos develops the following insight. To ask a goy to do a Melacha D'Raisa, Laman having the Bristol's mano, that's out of the question. To ask a goy to do an Issa D'Rabbanon, which anyway D'Rabban, so it's a Shvus to Shvus, asking a goy is always D'Rabbanon. And the issue involved is vice at D'Rabbanon. Asking a goy to do it to Rabbanon, the Mokamila, that we're willing to give you a green light for. That's the theory of Tosfos. That's Tosfos Shita in Masechet Gittin, in Mabakam, and every few places the same sugya appears, and Tosfos says the same pismen, that in order to be master, this is D'Raisa for Amir Yaakov, that's out of the question. In order to be master, Amir is at Rabbanon, that would be okay. But then Tosfos quotes another approach to the sugya, and that's the approach of the Baal Halachas Gedolos. The Baal Halachas Gedolos, who predated Tosfos a couple hundred years, the Baal Halachas Gedolos writes, well, that's not the correct answer to this question. The answer to the question is as follows, that Chazal lifted the entire Issa of Amir Yaakov, Laman Mila B'Yom HaShemini. Mila B'Yom HaShemini is so important. The rices we can't do ourselves, but they go, we can do whatever we please. Everything and everything is going to be mutter. You can carry derech shes harabim, you can do any malacha derech, they go, with het gomer laman, that the mila should go through on the eighth day. So what does the Gemara mean when it says that we have to first check and see with the mother whether she needs the water or not? Why don't we just have the goy heat up the water? What's wrong with that? I said, they're right, that's mutter anyway. The first is right, there's no goy around. So you're in the middle of Ramapachep, she can't find the goy around. And therefore, we don't have the option to do the Mir Yaakov. So we have to do it Aydei Yisrael. Aydei Yisrael! Oh, so then the Gemara thought a million times. The Gemara said, you want to do it Aydei Yisrael? You can't have a Jew do it. That's Rabbi Eliezer. We hold Yechai Skila for that. So if you want to have a Jew do it, then the only Het is going to be Pekuch Nefesh. So when the Gemara says that the mother is sick, that means the mother is very sick. She's so sick that she needs the water out of Safi Pekuch Nefesh. So then you can throw in a little bit of extra water, Laman, the Bris Mila. But if it would have had a goy around, it would have been so much easier to solve this problem, says the Baal Halachas. Why did Tosfos not like Epshat? Why did they think Epshat was not correct? Because Tosfos Lachar couldn't believe that if you're doing it as a Jew, what right do you have to add on the water? Adding on water, even in a situation where when you're allowed to be Michal Shabbat, you have to count every drop. I can't add on extra. Adding on extra is called Riva B'Shurin, which many of the Shem hold is Nisa D'Raisa, the Makab B'Kuach Nefesh. So Tosfos had a lot of problems with this Baloski, though. Baloski still told it was okay. So there's a major machlokes now emanating from these two different ways of reading the sugya. That if you read the sugya, these two sugyas in Erevin like Tosfos, that it comes out that Amir Yassam was never ever lifted for Yisum Derais, even to make sure the brisket is done and done. If you go down the root of the Baloski Gedolah, so then Chazal did lift Yisum Derais in order, Ayadei Goy, as long as it's for the purpose of having the bris done. How do we pass in the halacha on the shaila? We pass like Tosfos, we pass like the Bahag. So it's hard to tell, but it's easier to tell from almost an extension of this machlokes. Tosfos says that there's a further shaila, depending on what you think about the Baalos and Baalos and Tosfos, there's a further shaila, is mila difference or is mila an example of any mitzvah? So Tosfos says that if you extend this idea, whatever you think is mitzvah mila, if you think it extends to other mitzvahs as well, so that according to the Baalos Gedolos, you can do a mila yacham for any deraisa. For even on deraisa, any makom mitzvah. And according to Tosfos, you can do a mila yacham and derabanan for any makom mitzvah. So la halacha, we don't like to do a mila yacham just for mitzvahs. We don't like that attitude of having the goy turn on the lights and do everything. I'm all right. There was some place in Europe used to have the Shabbos goy. You tell the goy to do everything for them on Shabbos. All the makom is everything is gevaldik. So the Ramah doesn't like that too much, and we try to avoid that. So we're not so convinced that the Baal Lachs Gedolos is right. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham that we're not 100% convinced he's right, but on the other hand, we really, really want this bris mila to go on, and we're going to do anything in our power to do it. And therefore, the Magen Avraham writes, if you have a big shasachach, this is always a shasachach, there is no non-shasachach in this kind of shabbos. So it's a big shasachach because you want to get the bris to be done. So the Magen Avraham is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah saying, if all else fails, you can even have a guy do an iser gomer midarais, you can rely on the shittas of a hag. So if you're not able to get the down to the rabbanon, you can ask a guy to do it outright and say deraisa for you in order to make sure that the bris gets done on time. So when this particular shaila came to me a few years ago, so we were working with the assumption that we do have a deraisa in our hand. That whole Billy Rubin razzle dazzle shikota is probably not correct. So we couldn't stop nacha to the rabbanon to make a good lechaladayas. So we are stuck in the world of deraisas, but even though we're stuck in the world of deraisas, we could probably be shazakha, rely on the Baal Chilos. That was a p'tach that was given. It happened not to have been in my community, so when the Rav called me about the shaila, that was what I thought the p'tach should be. They never called me back to tell me what happened with those. That's usually most of them never get follow-ups, so we never really know whatever happened. But whatever it is, hopefully we'll close it ends well. So again, the two parts of the Shia combined together. Deraisa, I think it probably still is, but notwithstanding it's deraisa, it's fine mutter anyway. So the question is, this is not even 100%, this is only our suffix. So the truth is that the doctors were pretty sure that the Billy Rubin was probably going to be okay. It was not just like a suffix, like a wild, pipe dream. It was going down, so it was probably going to be okay, but they weren't comfortable yet giving the okay. So the question is why are you drawing the blood? So here, when I shaft, I need the Netilas Neshama, because I want to use the animal. So the post can assume here I'm using the blood. The Gemara says that if I draw blood, I don't need the blood for anything, so that's not a malach shanti of the gufa. But if I draw blood because I want to feed the blood to my dog or something, the Gemara says the ferish has to miss their aisa. So most of the post can assume if I draw blood because I want to test the blood, I'm using the blood to extract information to make a decision in life on. So that is called a malach shanti of the gufa in Parshat Shabbat. Okay, all right. Thank you.